It's that time of the year when we're itching to get into the field to get a herbicide on to prevent our kochia emergence. And with all the weather that we've had, we're struggling to get it done this year. Hi there, this is Jeannie Falk Jones. I'm your K-State agronomist for Cheyenne, Sherman, and Wallace counties. So how worried should we be about kochia emergence when we don't have a pre-emergence herbicide already in place in the field? To answer that, we need to have a good understanding of the kochia plant. The base temperature for kochia emergence is 39 degrees. So I looked up the soil temperatures for our area and found that the warmest soil temperatures at the 2-inch depth has been 33 degrees in the last week, and the coldest was Tuesday night at 29 degrees. In addition, the temperatures at the 4-inch depth are sitting pretty consistently between 29 and 31 degrees. So if kochia emergence begins at 39 degrees and our soil temperatures at 2 inches is at a max of 33 degrees right now, we still have just a little bit of time before those kochia seedlings begin to emerge. Now the concern is, with the melting snow, we have moisture in the field, and those warmer air temperatures make the perfect situation for kochia emergence. And I agree, we could get into a bit of a time crunch getting these pre-emergence herbicides applied. Now each herbicide program that targets kochia needs to consist of two components. First, we need a very soluble and effective herbicide that can be incorporated with very little precipitation, and a good example of that is dicamba. Second, we need a herbicide that has a longer residual and requires some more precipitation, perhaps up to 3/4 of an inch or more, for adequate incorporation. Now, the dicamba is going to last in the soil for 4 to 6 weeks, and the longer residual herbicide will start controlling that kochia once it's incorporated and that dicamba residual begins to run out. Off the top of my head, there's a couple of herbicides with a longer residual that will work in this situation, atrazine and metribuzin. Now, I want you to make sure you know what your crop rotation is and what the crop rotation restrictions are for any herbicide that you apply with that longer residual. One other note is that dicamba can potentially have a little bit of reach back to get the very smallest kochia plants that have already emerged once that dicamba gets activated, but do not rely on this happening. If there are kochia plants already emerged, you may also need to plan for a burn down herbicide treatment either prior or just after that fuzzball stage of kochia development. However, make sure you know that the chances of failing to control our kochia increase quite a bit more once they emerge out of the soil. As you can tell, we might be in a bit of a precarious position this spring with getting a pre-emergence herbicide on before that kochia comes up. My advice to you is, as soon as you can get in the field, target those fields that you know had a kochia problem last year, and or those fields that the mother kochia plants rolled across and dropped off seeds. Kochia seed doesn't last for a very long time in the soil, and in fact, after that first year, only about 5% of the seeds really remain viable. And after 2 years, that decreases pretty dramatically down to 1% of the seeds that are viable. I have results from field studies on several herbicides and tank mixes for controlling kochia posted on my website at www.sunflower.ksu.edu/agronomy. If you have any questions, you can get a hold of me at the K-State Extension offices in Goodland, St. Francis, and Sharon Springs, or on the K-State Experiment Station in Colby. You can also follow me on Facebook at K-State Sunflower District Agronomy to see what I'm finding out in the field.